ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
John chapter 9, as we preach and teach this morning, John chapter 9, this is our last session on, this series, Ecclesia. Thank you everyone joining us online. You're welcome to Lighthouse Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for being part of our service today. John chapter 9, I read the first 12 verses. So now Jesus passed by, and he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no one can walk. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he has said these things, he spat on the ground and made the clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "Is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisee also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put the clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." He said, "He's a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And then they asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. And the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. I read that to show us something this morning about the church of the living God. If you want to get back home and read the whole chapter, it will help us to put it in the context, because by the time you flip to chapter 10, Jesus was declaring himself as the good shepherd of the sheep. If you read chapter 8, the preceding chapter, Jesus declared, there was an argument. And Jesus said, as long as I'm here, I am the light of this world. There was an argument concerning his age. There was an argument concerning his person. And he had to make it clear to them, before Abraham was, I am. I am the present God in life situation. When we see this in the context of our message today, I like to title this, The Hope of Our World. The Hope of Our World. You find out that if you read this in context, the whole chapter, Jesus wasn't talking to the crowd initially. His disciples asked him questions. So if we put that in the context of today, you say Jesus was talking to his own. Jesus was demonstrating the power that the church had, the supernatural. Is the custody of the church. We are the custodian of the supernatural. The world, the system, the world system that we live in, they like to see the supernatural as just something that is not real. So over the ages, people have disputed. So you hear, even till today, you hear people say, why is the church doing this? If someone failed in their commitment to the general society, they find a way to link that person to the church. So you hear, if God is real, things like, if God is real, how come he's allowing people to bomb other people in Afghanistan, in Iraq? If God is real, what happened to small children that are being lost every day? Unlike the quest here, what happened? Because there are children who are being born with Down syndrome. There are children who are being born with issues. Why will God allow small children to suffer? Why will God allow World War I? Why will God allow World War II? So these questions were the things that the people in the world we generally raised. But the disciple of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, and I believe I'm talking to one on-site and online this morning, they want to understand how the kingdom works. So the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. So we started this series of teaching, and by emphasizing that God has established his church. Matthew 8:16 says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Secondly, we said God is also committed to build his church. He's committed. He said, I will build my church. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So God is committed to building his church. Thirdly, we said that God has also made his church to be a triumphant church. The church is not powerless. The church is actually running counter the world mindset, counter the world system. So that's why Jesus taught us, he said, you have heard a tooth for a tooth and eye for an eye. That's the common trend. He said, but I say unto you, When someone offends you, asks you to go with him a mile, be ready and be committed to go an extra mile. So we are counter-culture. So these people were concerned. They said, oh, this person was born blind. It must be that he had sinned or his parent had sinned. I love what the TPT's translation, how he rendered the whole context. But I will come back to it. So Jesus has made the church to be triumphant. Fourthly, we have said that God is coming back for his church. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. They said the disciples, when God was, the world system at that time, they didn't believe that Jesus has resurrected. As a matter of fact, they bribed, they lied, and they gave money to the guards who watched over the tomb. He said, when they ask you, tell them that the disciples have come to steal the body away. And the Bible recorded that they still believe that, even in the Jewish custom up till this day. They didn't believe that he has resurrected. So you have people like the Pharisees and Sadducees who don't believe in resurrection. You have them in that context. So it has always been like this. But Jesus is coming back, because they said that they had angels appear to the disciple. Said this same Jesus, the same way he left, is coming back again. So he's coming back. And then God's church can never be defeated. That's the last thing. And I want to emphasize it. We can never. The church all through the ages have suffered persecution. And we are still suffering persecution. We are still suffering persecution. But the church can never be defeated. So, Christianity is about the fullness of life in Christ. Full Christianity. It's about the fullness of God's life in Christ. And if you, which you are, there is the universal church, or there is the local church, you are a member. If you have made the commitment to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, there is, you belong to the body of Christ. You belong to the family of God. So you are a member of the body of Christ. You are. I am. 1 Corinthians 12:28. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Said God has appointed these in the church, first the apostles, the second the prophet, third the teachers, and after that, gifts of healing, herbs, administration, variety of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers. What I'm looking for actually is that we are members of his body. We are members of his body. Thank you. So you are a member of the body of Christ. Your membership is not bondage. Your membership is not a cult. It shows you belong to the family of God. It shows in your commitment to the Lord. Church is the ground and the pillar of truth. Church provides applicable truth for living. The church provides opportunity to discover who you are in the family of God, to develop friendship and accountability. Church is an opportunity for us to display the life of God in us. He said, for we are members. This is, thank you. 12:27. Yeah, now you are the body of Christ and then members individually. You are the body of Christ. You know, Jesus said in our text this morning, he said, as long as I am in the world. I love what was said earlier on.
When we are looking for Jesus, we are looking for those who are recipients of his life. So, as long as you are here, you are the light of the world. So, we are members of this body. We are here to display his wisdom to our world. So, God, coming back to our test, if you can help me do that, the test, John chapter 9, in the TPT, I will appreciate it. Thank you. It said, afterward, as Jesus walked down the street, he noticed a man blind from birth. Look at it. His disciples, those who want to know, those who want to understand the mystery of the church, they said, teacher, whose sin caused this guy's blindness? They must have been discussing it around them. His home or the sin of his parents? Jesus answered, neither. 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 Jesus wanted to show that he's not only the Savior, he's a healer. Jesus wanted to show that in the beginning it was not so. Man wasn't born with any kind of defect. Jesus wanted to show that the happenings in our world is as a result of the activities of the evil one who thwarts the work of creation. You know, sometimes today you hear people say when they have sickness, they say God is using sickness to test them. No, he doesn't do that. James chapter 1 says every good and perfect gift. I don't think sickness is a good gift. I don't think pain is a good gift. I don't think God will just deliberately take people's children. I don't think God will deliberately take people's parents in accident. I don't think so. That's not God. That conflicts with his character. So Jesus used this example to show us the nature of God. God is love. God is good. God is committed. So, he said, not the sins of his parents. He said, it happened to him so that you could watch him experience God's miracle. No matter how the world is broken, no matter how people are suffering, when they come in contact with Jesus, it changes the story of their lives. And the church provides that platform. The church is the ground and the pillar of truth. The church is where you hear people talk about deliverance from sin. The church is the only, well, I don't want to use the word institution, but I will use the word institution, is the only institution of the heart that is committed to total transformation of man, spirit, soul, and body. Every other thing that we do in terms of education, it's just to develop one aspect of one's life. But the church is committed to developing the total man, spirit, soul, and body. So Jesus, through that story, was telling us, no matter how broken, no matter how backward, no matter how disappointment, when people come in contact with the church is supposed to shine the light to be the epitome of change in people's life. I'm building up because I want to talk about the things that we really should be doing. And it's our major description. You are not in church to get rich. You can get rich through any other means. It's a mindset. You are not even in church to get healed. You can get healed through medical science. Because God gave wisdom for people to do medicine. And they have done it through the century. You are not in church to get houses or in our own part of the world. You know, sometimes we use prayers And we practically believe God for everything. Lord, before I wake up, let NEPA, you must still be in Jesus' name. Lord, I need shoe. Lord, I need a house. Now, I've been serving you. So that people can know I'm serving you. I need you to build me a house. You know, God comes through, but that's not the main reason for the church. He said, the Son of Man have come to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. So whatever it is, the church is here to undo every work of Satan wherever it is found. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he said, for this purpose, that's a big part. He said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you still remember your Sunday school story, God created man in his own image, in his own likeness. God gave man the dominion. And David was giving us an insight into this dominion mandate in Psalm 115. He said, the heavens, even the heaven belongs to God. The heart he has given to the sons of men. But on a day, that same person that God has created, he sold out this dominion to the devil. And that was, in fact, the eternal life, that life of God that was flowing through man. Even when the sin, there was an entrance of sin into humanity, man still lived, 969 years, many of our patriarchs, because the Zoe, the life of God, when he's actively at work, long life becomes a normal thing. When Zoe, the life of God, when it's actively at work, creativity becomes a normal thing. When Zoe, the life of God, when it's fully activated, there is no end as to what man can do. You know, that's Zoe. God had to step in Genesis 11. He said, that which man, what I put in man, he said, nothing shall they. He can't put a limit to it. What you and I had, but over the years, because of sin and the effect of sin, man has reduced it to just wanting to get something. Whereas man is supposed to be, we are human beings. We are not human doings. We carry the nature of God, and what we are supposed to do is to live out that God nature. And so the devil came, but Jesus, God in his own infinite sovereignty, because he had an agenda, he had a plan for man. He's in Genesis 3:15, he made that declaration. The seed of the woman will bruise. He said, this one, you can still not limit this man. David had an inside of his. He said, what is this subject about man? What is man that your mind is full of him? He said, you have just made him a little lower than yourself. If you can still remember your Bible class story, that is exactly where we are. But God's eternal agenda is that the church should be a reflector of the power of the nature of God. You know, sometimes when we don't get these things in perspective, we think a church is just somewhere you go to. Maybe because you are born into Christianity. Or maybe that's just the normal thing to do on a Sunday morning. No. The church, Jesus made that statement, and he's talking to you and I. As long as we are here, we are the light of the world. And I'm saying this as you leave this service today. Have it at the back of your mind. You are the light of your company. You are the light of your family. You are the light in your generation. As a student, you are the light on that campus. As long as you are here, there should be no need for darkness. There should be no need for retrogression. As long as you are here, Jesus made it, because we are the little Jesuses that people can see. We are the epistles of God, known and read by all men. Please understand, this world that we live in will not be won simply by our good sermons. People desire to see believers who demonstrate Jesus, who are embodiment of God's love. God's desire for us, I mean the church, is for us to shine his light. And that light is in us. When we shine it, darkness cannot comprehend it. You know, there was one day in the scripture that Joshua had to make a statement. He said, if God be God, let us serve him. He said, but if Ba is Ba, let's also serve him. But the Bible says, the people answer him not a word. And because you are all spirit beings seated here this morning, it's the same thing. I throw this challenge. If church is worth it, let us do it. A church is worth it because the word is broken. People are asking questions. Is this thing that is happening to me? Is it my sin or my father's sin? People are asking questions. I don't even understand my identity. People are asking questions. I don't even understand because man is created to be a supernatural being. There will always be that question. But when Jesus stepped in, there is a total transformation. When Jesus stepped in into people's lives, there is an inside-out transformation. We are the Jesus that people see today. When people see us, when they see his power, his life at work in us, there must be total transformation. The church is not, fine, our needs are met, spiritual needs, emotional needs, physical needs, but all the summary of the church is not what we can get. Jesus made that declaration, Acts 20:35. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The anointing, the grace, the power. You know, last week we were talking about the things that belong to us. The name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. The salvation belongs to us. Deliverance belongs to us. Victory belongs to us. It's not just for us to enjoy these things alone. It's for us to be positioned as Jesus is in our own community, in our own ethno, and then we can share this life with other people. Matthew chapter 5, again, verses 13 to 16. Can give us on the PT. Matthew 5. It says, your lives are like salt among the people. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled on by others. Your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And how will you light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it is placed where everyone in the house can benefit from the light. 16, so don't hide your light. Let it shine. Not dimly, he said brightly before others, so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them. Then they will give their praise to your Father who is in heaven. What is our commitment today as we tie up conclusion on this Ecclesia series? Number one. God wants people to be saved. That's it. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. The devil can't continue to have a free. He can't. He said he turned to his disciples. Can you see the word again? His disciples, not the crowd. And said, the harvest is huge and ripe. But there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. He said, as you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more Jesuses to harvest his grain. How do you know that? 1 Timothy, I read chapter 2, verse 4. Say, who desire all men to be saved? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, as human beings, one of the challenges challenges that we have is living a selfless life. In other words, putting other people's interests ahead of our own. It's a challenge for us, natural human beings. And so we need to embrace the things that matters to God. And it sorts us out. There is no way you will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness that things will not be added to your life. But what I'm saying this morning is that those things are not the very things why we are Christians. We are Christians because God has made us light and salt. So, number one commitment is that God wants people to be saved. If you want to study at home, Luke 14, verses 16 to 23. He called a dinner, and then he invited people. And then people started to give excuses. Some say, I've just bought a new car. I need to test drive it. Or someone says, I've just married a new wife. I need to just test the wife. Somebody else said, and they began to give excuses. And the Bible says, he spoke to the servants, the disciples. He said, go into the hedgeways. Bring people in. Brother, sister, this morning, I speak to your conscience, just like I'm speaking to my conscience. We don't have time anymore. God has given us the harvest field. That court that you operate as a lawyer. That clinic. There are people every day who are asking questions. Ability to write script. Ability to redefine fashion. There are people every day who are looking for what next to hear to make their decision of either life or death. We need to utilize it. We can't be too busy more than God. Your partnership is an opportunity. Your opportunity to be a mentor, to be a counselor to someone is an opportunity. You see, as simple as this things are, that's why I'm calling attention to, we must not allow it to go, to sleep in our heads. I made a couple of mistakes. I've had impression to speak to certain people. And then I refused to do it. And the next thing I knew is that they crossed to the godless eternity. Let's not be deceiving ourselves. When we use the word rest in peace, the person who died knows where he's going. Some people are not resting in peace at all. And you know, we can cover this up with ceremonies. I've never been to a burial ceremony where people speak ill of the dead. No. People, we always say something nice about the dead people. But the truth is that sometimes you and I know the conscience that we have, that we bear in the Holy Ghost, tells us that this person hasn't really lived well. Please understand. That's what we have. Every moment that we have to be in class, in session, in seminar with people is an opportunity. We can't hide our light. I've said it several times, and I'm going to say it again. I've seen people gone through therapy, but sometimes those things are temporal. Deliverance from addiction is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he who the Son sets free. Healing, complete restoration back to God. You know, that's why I love medicine. They said, we care, but God heals. And you know, that's Psalm 139. He said, all the intricacies of our body, he said, before I put you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I know the intricacies. I know your bones. I know everything. So God heals. I'm not ashamed of that. You should not be. Every one of us, the church, let's put our emphasis where it is. Let's put our emphasis. God wants people saved. He wants people not only to save, he wants to increase his church through soul winning. In Acts 2:47, he said, when we do it this way, he said, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. In Acts 19, Paul had this passion. And the Bible says God told Paul, I have many people in this city. And I know God can count on us in the city of Lagos. We are 220 million Nigerians. If you see the 220 million Nigerians, I will say to you, I'm not sure whether we have 20 million living above poverty line. Forget about our millennium goals, all those goals that we said. Even in the nations, when people see it, it's about business. If they tell you an average head or funding leaves America at a particular X dollars, by the time it gets to Congo Kinshasa, it becomes like a cent. Because at that layers, people have taken commissions. So it's all about transactions. It's all about business. The church, that's why the church can't go down. The church through the ages, look at the field of endeavors that have benefited humanity. Is it medicine? Is it engineering? It's go and check those who have made good breakthrough for us to live. They are divinely inspired to bring things that benefit humanity. So the church, that's our responsibility. You know, when we don't know it, we have two or three are gathered together in his name. Instead of he to be there, he is in the midst of them. It's when we don't know these things, it becomes, that is the beginning of politics. So what do we fight over? We fight over who is the deacon, who is not the deacon. We fight over who is the senior prophet, who is not the senior prophet. We fight over, just like they did in Acts chapter 6. So God wants people to be saved. He wants people to grow into his image. 2 Peter 3:18. He said, grow in grace. So please, as we set our goals, let it be the minimum you and I can do is one soul per month. So that at the end of the year, 2022, you may not have done anything, but you can start this way. There are 12 people lining up behind you. They are growing in grace and they are growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's discipleship. Your life is impacting them. You will agree with me, in every field of life, we have it. We have older doctors who are mentoring young doctors, older engineers who are mentoring young engineers. We need to have people that we are mentoring. It's not all about our songs. You're saying, God of miracles, we know he's your papa, but let it also be that we have people who are also enjoying that miracle. So what God wants people to grow, God doesn't want people to be tossed around. Some of my colleagues have made business out of it. They are like the Pharisees. The Bible says that they refuse to enter into knowledge and then they stop people from entering into it. The world is broken. We can't add to people's weight. We can't. And we come up with all kinds of things that put people in bondage. Light drives out darkness. Darkness don't stay where there is light. And when light occurs, it illuminates. There is an awareness. There is a coming to knowing. This thing that has dominated me like this, when light comes, so I can actually dominate it, and then I can see others who are experiencing same challenges, I can bring them into that light. And then we can see many people. That's how God wants his kingdom to grow. Many people who are alive. Because whether you realize it or not, because sometimes we talk about heaven, heaven, heaven. Do you know that we are not going to live in heaven forever? When all things things are restored, we are coming back here. And I've said to many people, there won't be any need to preach to anyone then. So I know my vocation. I'll be a pilot because a whole lot of movement will take place economically. So I will be trained as a pilot after that 1,000 years. You can choose your career ahead of time. There will be nobody to preach to. The Bible says the Lord himself, there's no need to bother about NEPA. He said the Lord himself is the light. There's no need for internet. Because we will see him as he is. I'm just saying all of that. Doctors in the house, please prepare. Because there will be no sickness. He says sickness and tears shall be taken away. Secondly, our commitment. Commitment to win souls. It's a commitment. It's not a casual thing. It's a commitment. It should be part of our daily prayers. Lord, I'm sitting behind that table today. I can influence life. Direct people towards me. And I know some of our doctors here. You know that, especially in our own parts of the world, two sets of people, people listen to a lot, doctors and preachers. That's why a preacher will ask people to go and eat grass and they will eat grass. There's one stupid one that I saw, stupid video. The preacher was hitting Eba and asking church member to lick his hand. He was the one who was eating the Eba. And licking his hand is transmission of wet. I didn't make it up. I can send it to you if you want the video. No. So it's deliberate. Someone need a word from you this week. And if your personal devotion, Isaiah 50 verse 4, he said, he wakens my ear. Money by money to hear as the learned. So as you do things professionally, sometimes a question. And you know, generally, people like to cover. We live in a very secretive part of the world too also. So people like to cover things up. How are you doing today? Fine. How are you doing today? Good. How are you doing today? It is well. But when you ask for that question, you know it's not well. So it's commitment. We have, as we are seated here, we have family members, we have friends, we have colleagues, we have neighbors who are not saved. You know, he didn't say how you will be saved, is when you are born into a Christian home. He didn't say that. He didn't say how you will be saved is when you are born into a certain country. He didn't say that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people will be surprised that what they thought the yardstick is not. How do you know that somebody is saved? The person who is saved knows that he's saved. And the person who is not saved knows that they are not saved. And if they are not saved, they are not saved. But we can be the light that person sees. To ask inquisitive questions. And you know that's what they did in Acts. He said, what shall we do to be saved? So people still ask that question. So it must be intentional. Matthew 28:19, he said, Go therefore. So it's the going, it's a continuous thing. Mark 16:15, he said, Go and teach. There's something that we all know as we are seated here this morning, or as I'm standing or you are seated, there's something that we know that somebody needs to know. There's something that you and I know about God that somebody needs to know. In recent times, I've met people who have questions about God. And if we maintain our relationship, I'm not saying, even if your theology is not accurate, as it were. Don't get me, the Bible is so clear. We don't need to get into argument with people. I'm enjoying peace. You can also enjoy peace. You are preached to someone. How can I enjoy peace? Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. How can I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, well, you can repeat a prayer after me and confess that he's your Savior and he has become your Lord. Acts 1:8 says, we don't receive this power. You know, sometimes we feel that we receive the power to kill other people. No, God doesn't operate that way. He said, you will receive power, but you will become what? Witnesses. Who is a witness? The person with a first-hand experience. That's a witness. In the law court, that's what they say. And they say, has them to say, before you say anything, say, I will say the truth and nothing but the truth. So the witness have a contact with the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, soul winning should be intentional. You say, but they don't allow people to preach. That's exactly what we read this morning. Pharisees and Sadducees, we always talk. You can't preach here. You can't do this here. There will always be law. But here somebody is healed, somebody is healed. I was watching a program on one of our patriarchs of faith. I mean, they were holding crusade. They were holding that crusade in Port Harcourt just this week. And they transmitted life to nations of the world. And they showed people from Iraq, showed people from Pakistan, showed people from Turkey. All dressed up the way they dress. Not just few people, many people. So the gospel, it cuts through barrier, it cuts through laws. It cuts through. And so we must be intentional. We must be intentional. We must be intentional. I went into a space this last week and they were talking about how Northern Christians, even Northern Christians in Nigeria, have been marginalized by Christians who are also in Nigeria. So if I tell you this morning, as you're sitting here, by the time you hear the name Yakubu, what comes in your mind? Eh? Yeah, but they are not. Sometimes Mustafa, they are not. They are dressed up in that, but in their heart, it is Jesus who is reigning and ruling there. So sometimes, if care is not taken, we even help God to sort out who will be saved and who will not be saved. No, it doesn't work that way. Our prejudice, our being myopic. He said he desired that all men should be saved. All men. All men. When he was releasing the outpouring or prophesying about the outpouring in Acts 2:28, he said, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your household, your housemaiden, whoever. And he said something. He said, whoever, when this outpouring hits the heart, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. The word saved there is the word so. Whoever calls on his name shall experience salvation, shall experience wholeness, shall experience peace of mind, shall experience deliverance, shall experience healing. That's what the church is. That's what the church is. And that's the world the church should be. Brother, sister, we can't be behaving as children playing in the marketplace. It's a serious business. I'm sure that in this city, there are many people who will commit suicide tonight. It's not anything. That's how devastated the devil can be. I'm sure in this city, someone's liver will pack up today as a result of overdose of alcohol. That's how we should view this thing. Why is it that cigarettes, in the world, as it were, has been positioned in people's mind as is one of the symbols, social status symbols. Why is it that they now hide it? Tobacco smokers
are liable to die young.
Is that not a conflict? Doctors, we tell you, when all these things that we do, when they overtell in people's body, and the irony of it for us in our own part of the world, self-medication has been promoted. So, it's when people run into serious trouble, that's when they go to the hospital. By which time, it's already what? Too late. Medicine supports the gospel. So, we do everything together. It doesn't make us less spiritual. It just helps us that people can live longer. They can live a better life. Please, today, lastly, soul winning efforts are rewarded. They are. Heaven rejoices over souls. When people get saved, heaven rejoices. Look at what happened to you and I when we first gave our heart to the Lord. Look at the joy. Unspeakable joy, full of glory. Look at it. The way some of us begin to dance. The things I used to do, I do them no more. How is it that we now push it to just, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I need this. I know you will do it for me. You are a heavenly Father. You are a faithful Father. You are a awesome Father. And that's all the content of what we have tagged as our journey in Christianity. No. Heaven rejoices over one soul. Heaven rejoices. In Daniel, it says, 12:3. What does he say? Daniel 12:3. He said, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness. Many to righteousness. So even our Christianity must not influence people negatively. You know, I've had conversation. They said, oh, if Pope say, if this person say he's a Christian, then I don't want to be one. I've had conversations like that. In Acts 26:18, he said to open their eyes. And then in order to turn them from what? Darkness to life. From the power of Satan. You know, sometimes when we do things in church, we actually give people back to the power of Satan. Someone who is hungry, is not able to afford 3 square meals, is now eating in his dream. Where else should he eat? You can't build a ministry around that. You can't. That's not Jesus. That's not him. I'm not saying demonic oppression doesn't exist. But someone who hasn't adequately eaten, and you are pressing the tummy, he or she will vomit in the name of deliverance. They will vomit. And what they will vomit, you won't like it. If they have trouble with their liver, they vomit greenish or whatever. They say, ah, the demons have gone. Who said? No, we can't put burden on people. Wherever you see Jesus, you see light. Wherever you see light, you see development. Wherever you see development, you see progress. You see freedom. So please don't. I do deliverance, though, if there is any need to do it. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's not the end. And then they have inheritance. We have people, since they gave their heart to to Jesus, they've been doing one deliverance after the other, yet in the eyes of those who conduct such deliverance, they are still not free. No! This the church dependency theory. Ha! My take. If you can know the truth and the truth sets you free, is less counseling for me. The proof of my work is not how many people who come for counseling. No. That's not the proof of my ministry. No. It's how people can be exposed to light. And then they can bring many other people into light. So, we need to pray for souls. That's what I'm saying. Families, friends, pray. Let it be part of your prayer content every day. Pray for yourself, for boldness. Pray for your loved one. Snatch them. Pray for your neighbors. And then, finally today, my brethren, make commitment in your heart. Make a commitment that, hey, this time that God has given me, my talent, my money, I want to use it for the gospel. That's what we have. I had a story of a rich man. Where is not, when you say rich, they say rich, but he didn't enjoy his life. Who passed on? And by the time he passed on, his family members were even looking for money for project. But by the time he passed on, they found 500 million naira in his account. And some weeks before he passed on, I think somebody was looking for 2 million or how much they said the person was looking. And this man said he doesn't have. He didn't live well. That's the point. So, it's not a polygamous setup. I think they are just about 3 kids. So they fought themselves to a standstill over that 500 million naira. So we're told that for whatever he does, another 200 million dropped 2 weeks ago. So there is a current fight now. Hey, I don't think that's the intention of God. The Bible says he gives us riches to enjoy. But the commitment I want you to make, don't live your life. Even if you can't stand in the fivefold ministry, say to yourself, my money must bring track. Hey, brother, sister, forget about what you have had preacher done. The gospel is a solution. So I want you to make a commitment today. Your money. You can't run January to December and not say this is... I'm not saying the change. You know, sometimes you find yourself in a situation, they say, give an offering, give an offering, and you just want to give something. Mm-mm. Deliberately. Deliberately. If I can't go, my money must go. And nobody needs to beg you. Because you have time, you have talent, and then as God helps you to put those things into ideas and you make money, don't throw leftover at God. Because when the chips are down, it's the same God you will call on. It's the same God that gives you ability to make decisions. It's the same God who has given you health to be able to walk. What are we? We are stewards. And that should be a mindset. Don't we need to make investment? Make investment. You can follow God. Follow the His leading in your heart. But let it also not be like the rich fool. That's how the Bible described him. Even the rich fool didn't help his family. That's why he was saying at the other end that they should send them to his brothers so that they can readjust and know that there is... Please. Wherever you are at the moment, before you consider that next project, there's somebody that needs 15,000 naira for school fees. So I'm not even saying give to the church only now. Open your eyes, brother, sister, let's be alive to our environment. Sometimes what you think you don't need, many people need it. We made a trip. Each time I give somebody 1,000 naira, if you see the prostration, get up again. And I said, it just occurred to me, and it was like the Holy Spirit inspired my heart. That 1,000 naira, it doesn't make any sense to you. But that 1,000 naira for that person,
You need 5 million naira. You need 50 million naira. Somebody is in need of 50,000 naira. That's what I'm saying to us this morning. And the church is the only way. People who can do this. We need money to build hospitals. We need money to build resource area. We need money to build schools. I said I would talk to him. One of us here. They said, come and build clinic. We will give you free land. There is need for it. I'll talk to him after. There is. In that community, they have youths. Registered youth, 1,000 members. But out of those registered youth, they have over 200 who are graduates. But the over 200 out of those youth who are graduates, many of them are Okada riders. Can you see how people's psyche? And of course, in all those areas, you know that Ogogoro, I'm not saying your NSEO. NSE is refined. Those ones that when you drink, it burns your tongue right to where it's going to settle. NSE is refined. In all those places, they call it otapiopio. Otapiopio. Because when you get the shot, you stagger home. That's why it's called otapiopio. In some part, they call it sapele water. It's conk. But when a man does not have hope, he can do anything. A desperate person will do anything desperate. If you have seen where they rob in the traffic before, that's what happened. They are not looking at police. That phone that he saw, that's what he's after. When he grabs that phone, he doesn't mind whether Okada hits them or not. You know, we recently lost a doctor at Anthony bus stop. Over a phone that invariably they couldn't use. A doctor of many years. But that tells you failure in human structure, what it can cause. Please, church, let us be the church that Jesus had in his heart. Let us be. Let us be. Let us be that place of restoration. Let us be that place of new beginnings. Let us be that place of hope. So the local church is the hope of our world. The local church. The local church. That's why when the Holy Spirit, when you and I are no more here because we are the temple, that's why the mystery of iniquity will now be unleashed fully. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be. I pray that this week, this message will prepare our heart. It's the time of harvest. And when we talk about harvest, it's not just what we come to us personally, but the change that we want to see. In our families, in our nations, in our communities. That's the thing. And that is the heartbeat of God. Please understand, lastly today, God is not going to send angels to do this assignment. He's not going to send the United Nations. He's not going to send WHO. God is sending you and I. And what is the platform? Our time, our skill, our talent, our resources. That's the platform. And it's our willingness to do it. Our willingness to do it. And as we do it, and that's where Proverbs 11, 24, 25 can be activated. The word of the generous, we grow larger and larger. He said, but the word of the stingy person will shrink until it has no more. Poverty is a spirit. It has nothing to do with availability of money. And a lot of the time in Africa and in our own part of the world, the people who live in poverty are the supposed rich people in our own eyes. Because the way they operate, it's a very devilish system. Eat dog, eat dog. No. Jesus had compassion. The church of Jesus must have compassion so that the world can be in a better place. I believe God. That's just my prayer. I believe God that we will see His kingdom established in our own generation. I believe God, like David prayed, was recorded of Acts 13:36. We will serve God in our own generation, and then we will sleep with our fathers. I believe God that when we join the cloud of witnesses, we will have many people from every nation who, through the influence of our lives, influence of our profession, influence of our influence, if I use it that way, praise God. You know the reason why God will want you to be governor, if you have political aspiration, is that any church you enter into, whether village or town, people will come. The reason why God will want you to be a professor is that so that you can train young people and profess very well and bring innovation. I see a new day. I see possibility. And why? The Holy Spirit is in us. I see innovation. I see creativity. God is not bereft of idea. What we have is that our people who are not pressing in into the flow of His power. The Holy Spirit is not in our life to curse other people or to want to see them die or to want to see them make progression or to boast about the power. No, that we have. No, it's that power should radiate to other people and bring change. Bow your heads with me this morning. I just want you to speak to the Lord in a moment. Just speak to Him. Just speak to Him. Just speak to Him. Brothers, sisters, I don't think we have time, but what do you want to speak to the Lord about? Just say, Lord, help me. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. I know the opportunities are already around us, please. We are not looking for it at the end of the world. And then help me also to yield to your spirit. Because God is going to give us instructions. Let's yield to Him. Let's yield to Him. God will not enforce Himself on us. If we want to see the hand of God, we must be ready to yield to His instructions. Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Your word has given us light and has given us understanding. Thank You for our commitment to see Your kingdom established in our own generation. Thank You because as we go through this week and make disciples, Lord, You will help us to speak a word in season to everyone who is weary. You will anoint our ears morning by morning. And as we hear as the liner, a word of instruction, a word of encouragement, we bring illumination to light other people. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of our heart. And as long as we are here, we continue to be your light. Thank You for shining through us this way. We give You praise, worship, and glory. For we pray with thanksgiving from our heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,